Well, there you go. If you wondered what is this church I stumbled into this morning, or who are these people, that was the longest history we've ever given. So you know everything, including my shoe size and all that fun stuff. But again, my name is Mark, and I have the privilege of being the lead pastor here, and I'm excited to be together as a church this morning and worship. And that's just a bit of our story. I know that there are a lot of people in the room today who might be your first week here, and I always like to tell people that most of us have only been here like a year. So by your third week, you're right at home, and you can feel comfortable and know that that we're all new and learning the ropes. So welcome, and that is our story. If you didn't see my wife who's out of my league on that video there, and our kids there, I did want to remind you I have three kids in our family, and I love them. I feel like I should say that before I tell you this, but I love to get away from my kids too. So that's why I had to preface that by saying I love them. Love to spend time with them, and also love to spend time not with them. So a few weeks ago, my wife and I had a chance to get away for our anniversary. I had a chance to go on a date night this week and have some fun. And to be honest, that is always good to get away from your kids. Can I get an amen from some parents? All right, there we go. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't like the only terrible parent in the room. We don't usually make people shout amen, but that felt good. So thanks for being on my side, guys. But yeah, every time we get away from our kids, sometimes it's just for a date night. Sometimes it's overnight. And every time we leave them, if it's longer, it seems it's getting more and more complicated. We have to leave instructions and all those things. And so we write out, you know, all kinds of things and leave it on the refrigerator. Here's when they wake up. Here's the snacks they can eat. Here's when bedtime is. Here's some places you can go. Here's some money. Here's our Kosai pass. Here's our zoo pass. Here's our pool pass. You know, we could just probably overwhelm people. Some people in the room have done this for our kids, and they're like, yes, you are overwhelming. So we always leave instructions and tell things to do. And the reality is, though, let's be honest, we've all babysat or watched people, and you usually forget all that. And so right before we leave, we always like look our babysitters in the eye, and we're like, okay, here's what you really need to know. Okay, you're going to forget all that other stuff. You might remember it, you might not. Here's the important stuff. When Mercy says baba, she means bottle. So give her a bottle and she'll stop crying, you know? And we're like, and when the boys are really tired, put them in bed at 8, you know? Like, we're like, if you know what baba is and you put the kids in bed, you're good. Everything else will just kind of fall in place. They're not gonna die. They don't have any terrible allergies. So just learn that. And so we always kind of give people the final instructions or the last chapter or the part that's really important. And the reason I tell you that, we've been doing a series these last 4 weeks. This is our fifth week in the book of 1 Peter. We've studied a lot of different things. We've looked at a lot of different things. But this week in chapter 5, I feel like this is a setup from Peter as he's writing this book and writing to this audience. He's saying, okay, guys, you might never hear from me again. We know that they will. He wrote another book, right? But they didn't know that. And so he said, here's what you need to know. Here's the important stuff. Here's the bottom line. Here's what I need you to remember. Here's what I want to say to you for the rest of time. And so that's what we want to study this morning is kind of the bottom line, the final words, chapter 5, from the Apostle Peter. And I've invited my good-looking friend Jeremy up here with me. Some of you know, these last couple weeks, we have a group of guys that we've been going through theology and doctrine and some leadership things with, and just inviting them up here to help us teach and influence. And so Jeremy's up here today. And so Jeremy, we're on the final week this week, but maybe you can take us back and remind us what's the context in the other chapters of 1 Peter.
Thanks, Mark. So if you weren't with us these last couple weeks, we started in 1 Peter chapter 1, and basically Peter's just saying, hey, life isn't easy or perfect, all right? And our big idea was that we've been showered with mercy, given life in Jesus, and we have a priceless inheritance. So we're supposed to strive for holiness. MC Hammer's You Can't Touch This made its way into that Sunday morning, so if you were there. And week two, Sarah walked us through the big idea that we are chosen to be changed, and this means that we're supposed to be change makers. And as chosen people, it changes our interaction with others, the world, and authority. We're chosen not to escape the world, but to change it. And 2 weeks ago, Phil walked us through the ideas of marriage and that God uses our best to bring out the best in our spouse. Husbands and wives, our relationships, and the way we love, it's got to be different from the world. Some of the gifts that were offered from a wife to a husband were respect, inner beauty and character, and some of the gifts that a husband offers to a wife is love, presence, and value. And last week, if you were here at a chapter 4, our big idea was when life gets tough, we're supposed to pray, love, and serve. And our prayer is supposed to be earnest, disciplined. And what are we saying no to so that we can say yes to other things, or say yes to prayer and no to other things during our weeks? Love covers a magnitude of sins. Having people in your home, even after a long day at work and you're tired and exhausted. Serve, how do we use our gifts to best glorify God, and how do we give back to God? And so today we're going to land in chapter 5. It's kind of our final takeaway is how do we lead ourselves and establish ourselves as a growing church?
Yeah, so let's go ahead and jump into 1 Peter chapter 5. If you brought a Bible, you can turn there. If you didn't, we've got Bibles under the seats there, so there's probably one under your seat or the seat next to you. If you've got the Bible that has like a swamp kind of pond scene on there, we're going to be on page 952 if you want to turn there. But 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll be in verses 1 to 10, and I want to read that and let us follow along and just pull some things out of this passage that we can learn today. So 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 1 through 10, page 952. And let me go ahead and read this to us out loud. It says this. It says, "And now a word to you who are elders in the churches. I too am an elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ. And I too will share his glory and his honor when he returns. As a fellow elder, this is my appeal to you. Care for the flock of God entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. Not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your good example. And when the head shepherd comes, your reward will be never-ending. Share in his glory and honor. You younger men, accept the authority of the elders. And all of you serve each other in humility. For God sets himself against the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and in his good time he will honor you. Give all of your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you. Be careful. Watch out for attacks from the devil, your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for some victim to devour. Take a firm stand against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. After you have suffered a little while, he will restore you, support you, and strengthen you. And he will place you on a firm foundation." I mentioned that this passage is kind of Peter's final advice, his final words. And so I think he's speaking to a few different audiences here. And one of those audiences that he's speaking to is he's saying that he's an elder. He's talking to other elders. He's talking to a leadership level of people who are leaders, who are influencers, and people who are directing the church. And that's an interesting passage for us as a church. For those of you that don't know, we talked about the fact that we're a young church, a church plant, and we just got started about a year and a half ago. And so Encounter Church in Dublin is still kind of leading us and our authority and our accountability. And so I meet regularly with their elders and kind of keep them informed what's going on in our church. And so we don't really have people that are sitting in that role. And yet I know and believe that in this room, there are our future elders. There are people who God has given a platform of influence and that God wants to use to lead Movement Church. There are many people in this room who are leading in some capacity. They may or may not have a title, but they've helped us kind of build the foundation of this church. And so this is a passage that's kind of giving us some advice on how to be a leader. In verse 2, it simply said that. It said, "Take care of the flock." Obviously, it's a tip of the hat or talking about making a little shepherding comparison there. And obviously, we know that there are lots of times in the Bible that it references being a shepherd or sheep. Here's what you may not know. In the context of the Bible, being a shepherd was not a very glamorous job. They were not the richest people or the people who smelled the best, as you can imagine, hanging out with sheep and having the job that they have. So I don't want to mention a job today, but I'll just say that back home where I'm from, there was a guy who was a veal farmer. He had some cows he would raise, and every time that guy would come to soccer practice, he always smelled kind of different than everyone else on the team. And so I didn't know a lot about being a veal farmer growing up, but I was like, I do not want to be a veal farmer. That's all I knew about it, was that if I had to smell like that around people when I went in public, I didn't want to do that. And so being a shepherd was kind of the same thing. And so every time there's a comparison that's saying, hey, be a shepherd, take care of the flock, that's not something that people are like, yes, what a glamorous, awesome job. I get to follow sheep around all day, and sometimes maybe they'll even bite me if I'm not, you know, treating them well. It's not a job that people want, and yet that's what Peter's telling us. He's saying, take care of the flock there in verse 2. And so I want to go to another passage. Let me just read this to you. But this is out of Ezekiel 34. It's on page 655 if you do want to turn there. But this is another passage that's famous just for instructing exactly what it looks like to be a shepherd of people, what it looks like to take care of people and to watch after them. And so I want to read this. This is Ezekiel 34, 1 to 16, and it's the prophet talking to Israel and talking to him about what it looks like to really be a shepherd and a leader who takes care of people. And I think this is something that we can learn from today in the spirit of this passage. It says this: "Give them this message from the sovereign Lord. Destruction is certain for you shepherds who feed yourselves instead of your flocks. Shouldn't shepherds feed their sheep? You drink the milk, wear the wool, and butcher the best animals, but you let your flocks starve. You have not taken care of the weak. You have not tended the sick or bound up the broken bones. You have not gone looking for those who have wandered away and are lost. Instead, you have ruled them with force and cruelty. So my sheep have been scattered without a shepherd. They are easy prey for any wild animal. They have wandered through the mountains and hills across the face of the earth, yet no one has gone to search for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, you abandoned my flock and left them to be attacked by every wild animal. Though you were my shepherds, you didn't search for my sheep when they were lost. You took care of yourselves and left the sheep to starve. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I now consider these shepherds my enemies, and I will hold them responsible for what has happened to my flock. I will take away their right to feed the flock, along with their right to feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths. The sheep will no longer be their prey. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places to which they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. I will bring them back home to their land of Israel from among the peoples and nations. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and by the rivers in all the places where people live. Yes, I will give them good pasture land on the hills of Israel. There they will lie down in pleasant places and feed in lush mountain pastures. I myself will tend my sheep and cause them to lie down in peace, says the sovereign Lord. I will search for my lost ones who strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but I will destroy those who are fat and powerful. I will feed them. Yes, feed them justice." This is just an example to give us some context on what it looks like to be a shepherd of people, what it looks like to care for people. And there are some of us in this room who have found ourselves in leadership positions, or maybe God is calling us into leadership positions. Some of you are leading movement groups, are groups that get together and study the Bible and share life and are family to each other. Some of you have found yourselves leading different things, whether it's worship or tech or movement kids in different places. You've been put over people, and God's entrusted those people with you. And this is just simply telling us that it's our job, like a shepherd would, to take care of the flock, not just to view people as something that's there to serve us, something that we can make a salary off of, and something that we can just be selfish with. But a shepherd should truly care for their people. They should care about their health. They should care about their well-being. They should care about getting them food and taking care of them and worrying about them. That's what it looks like to be a good shepherd. And so for our leadership level people, that's what this is saying in verse 2. Take care of the flock. Verse 3 kind of reminds us that we shouldn't just take care of the flock, shouldn't just have the mindset of a shepherd, but that we should lead by example. See, when you're in a leadership position, people are often looking to you. They're looking at you. They're watching your life, and they're watching the things you do. And so if you found yourself in a position where people are looking at you, it's a good reminder that people are looking at our habits. People are looking at our discipline. People are looking at our motives and the way that we interact with people, the way that we lead, the way that we talk, the way that we treat others. People are looking at you, and they're looking to see if the fruit of the Spirit are in your life. They're looking to see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They're looking into your life and into your habits and the way that you interact to see how you lead, or to see if you're a selfish shepherd who's in things for their own good. So Peter gives us, as a leadership audience, he gives us these two points and just says that quickly and reminds us. We should be taking care of the flock. We should be leading by example. We should be worried about what people are seeing when they look at us and look at our lives. Jeremy, I'll let you take the next audience here.
All right, so those of us on the learner level, I want to take you to just verse 5 there out of 1 Peter chapter 5. So follow along with me here. "In the same way, you younger men must accept the authority of the elders.
and all of you serve each other in humility, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So basically what Peter's saying here is, he's like, look, all right, you need to accept, or we need to accept authority. So whose authority do we need to accept? Well, ultimately God's, but also man's authority, because God places specific people in our lives that we are to submit to and respect. We've got to go into it with the mindset of, I don't know everything. Because when we think that we do know everything, we just get this pride and this tunnel vision. And if people have things to offer, advice, whether you're going through rough things and you think that your path is the only thing that will get you to the end, then who are you to not accept advice from godly men and people that he's placed in your lives? So we need to open our eyes to what God has to show us through the people that he has placed in our lives to teach us. Next verse here, verse 6. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. At the right time, he will lift you up in honor. I want to read you one more piece of scripture here. James 4, 7 through 10. And you don't need to flip to it. But this just illustrates what I'm trying to say better and what can say that better than the word of God. So follow along with me. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. So what exactly does humility look like in our lives? Well, this is an example just from my own life. I'm not perfect, so don't take this. That's not what I'm saying here, but I just hope that this story kind of encourages you. And this picture you see up on the screens, you can go ahead and flip to that. This is my boy, Mike Foster, all right? So just a little background behind Mike. I was going on a run one night. This is about a year and a half ago, and it's kind of a point in my life deciding what school do I want to go to, where do I want my career path to be. And I got about 100 yards into my run, and I was exhausted. So I had to. I'm not a big fitness guy, so I had to kind of sit down and take a break. And this guy comes walking up to me. He's like, "Hey, man, you got a dollar?" And I was like, "I'm sorry, I don't keep my wallet on me when I run because I don't go too far, anyways. Just run back to the house if I need to." But I was like, "Sorry, man, I don't." And so I just, "Hey, what's your name?" We just started talking, and he sat down. And about an hour later, we finished up our conversation. We were just talking about school and let him know that I was just going through some stuff, and he was going through some stuff. And after that conversation, I just knew that God wanted me to love on this guy. I mean, he just needed to talk, and he needed somebody to listen to him. And so time went on, and I was on Ohio State's campus, so we'd walk up and down High Street, if those of you who aren't familiar with it, just a long stretch of restaurants and stuff. But he was always on High Street, and I'd see him, "How you doing, man?" And eventually our talks just kind of got deeper, family, life, hard life stuff. We talked about God, we talked about church, and just kind of what all that is. And just over time, I just really, really came to just have a heart for this guy and learned a lot from him. And I think that, I hope he learned some stuff from me. I don't know what I have to offer. But so a couple of months ago, and this is crazy, I hadn't seen him in a little while, and I came outside Starbucks, and he was sitting on the bench. I was like, "Mike, what's going on, man? It's been so long." And he was like, "We need to catch up." And so he's like, "Yeah, it was my birthday about a month ago, and I got hit by a car." And I was like, "Oh, cool, cool. What? Like you got hit by a car?" He's like, "Yeah, I was walking out front of the street, wasn't paying attention, and hit me and kind of flipped me over." And I was like, "Dude, you got hit by a car. Like, are you okay?" He's like, "Yeah, it was just a scratch on my head." And I was like, "Well, I'm glad you're okay. What else can you do in that conversation?" But he says, "Yeah, when I after got out of the hospital, I was just kind of thinking about my life, and I decided that God was telling me this was my turning point. And when I ran into him at that time, he said, I've been clean for a month." He had a little bit of an alcohol problem, but he said, "I've been clean for a whole month." And I was like, "Mike, that's awesome, man. I can't believe it." And so then a couple weeks after that, his brother came into town. His brother's from Minneapolis. He runs kind of a reintegration program out of the Salvation Army down there. And he said, "Mike, you know, I want you to move down here. I want you to go through this program with me." And they stick you in the Word pretty hard, and they kind of help you get over any addictions or anything like that you might have. And so Mike made a bold move. He moved to Minneapolis a couple weeks ago, and I was kind of sad to see him go, but I was happy because High Street was the place where it was. He just struggled, and he just needed to get away from that. And so, what better place to go than Minneapolis, I guess. But I tell you this story because a week ago, I get a phone call from Mike, and you know, I was like, "Hey, man, how's it going down there? You doing all right? You fitting in?" And he says, yeah. And he's, "I just want to tell you this one thing, that I have some friends in my life, but not a lot of friends who just sit there and listen to me like you do." And I don't say this to gloat. I don't care about that. But what I'm saying here is, like, if we're going to be humble and we're going to show humility, sometimes we just got to listen, you know, listen to people who are just going through stuff, all right, because that's what they need. They need just to get that out. And I want to make this point clear that God helped Mike through his own situation and problems, but he just gave me a front row seat to just sit there and listen to him, and that's what he needed in this moment. So under God's authority, he asks us, he says, "Be humble before me, and also be humble before people." So why is this important? And then verse 5, I mean, God sets himself against the proud, but he favors the humble. So at the end of the day, who do you want in your corner? Do you want God, or do you want your ego?
We can kind of all learn from that. We can take a posture of humility and look to serve people. And so that's something that we can all learn as we're setting ourselves up as learners. We're looking at life, and Peter speaking that in this book. Obviously, we already talked about sometimes we'll also find ourselves at a leadership position, and so we can also make sure that we're caring for the flock, and we're looking out for people and setting a good example for them. So we've heard what it looks like for a leadership audience, for people who are learning. This passage ends and kind of just gives some instruction for everybody, and I love what it says here at the end. Kind of the first thing it says, an overarching theme, it says, "Give God control." Verse 6, we mentioned it there. It says, "So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor." We're told that we want to submit to God. We want to give him control in our lives, and we want to see what he does. And I love that it kind of makes it easy there. It says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty power of God." It's not like working for that boss that you don't really like, and you know you can do a better job then. It's not really like following that person that you're not in the mood to follow. This is easy when we have a proper perspective of who God is and exactly his character and what he wants to do in our lives. It should be easy when we have the proper perspective to look at God, to look at a mighty God who's created the world, who's done everything that we've seen through the course of history, and to think, "Yep, that guy's pretty awesome. He's got it together. He's got it under control." And to humble ourselves and kind of fall in line. And so we just have to say, "God, I know who you are. I know that you're great. I give you my life. I give you control of my life. I want to stay humble. I want to stay in your shadow. And I want to serve people. I want to be used by you. But I give you control of my life." And that's kind of the advice that's given to us here at the end. Verse 7 even says this: "Give up all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you." And so sometimes we say, "God, I've given you control. You've got my life," but then we're focused on things that make us worry. We're focused on things that have our attention and things that keep us up at night. And so this passage is just encouraging us that, what does it mean to truly give God control? It means that we no longer have worries because we've humbled ourselves enough to step out of the picture and say, "God, you're bigger than this. You're greater than this. You're in control. I don't know what you're going to do, but I know that you're going to show up, and I know that I'm going to be impressed by your mighty power." And so the first thing that's told to us there is that we can give God control.
And so as we're giving God control, we got to make sure we stay alert and watch out for attacks from the devil because it's going to happen. Look at verse 8 right here out of chapter 5. "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around you like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." And I want to kind of take this in just these three main words here. This verb of prowls, it's active, it's consistent. He says he's always on the prowl. He's always looking for opportunities. And he seeks to find us in our weakness. And this idea of roaring like a lion, a roar is loud, it's irritating, and it's heard from close and far away. So and this When I read this, this makes me think of the song, you know, In Christ Alone, and it has that verse, no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. And when you think about that in the context to a roar, you know, because of who we are in Christ and that we're made new in him, that's all that Satan has is a roar. He can't pull us down, all right? That's all he's got. And then this last word here, devour. When he wants you, he wants all of you. Okay, he doesn't want sections. He's a lonely guy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know about you, but I want this dude to be the only one in hell when all is said and done. And so at the end of the day, we gotta stay alert, stay on top of our game, ask God to give us strength in our weaknesses, and turn to him when in prayer when the well is dry.
So we mentioned that this passage is kind of the final instructions. 1 Peter, kind of the last thing that he wanted to say to this audience, and something that I think definitely applies to us as a church that's still being established and still working out our culture. This passage is simply saying, are you a leader? Do you find that God is using you to lead people? God has given you influence? Do you find that people are looking to you? If that's the case, this passage instructs us to take care of the flock. Not just to go about our job and kind of exist and function, but to truly care for the people that are looking to us, to truly care for the people that are following us, to worry about their well-being and have their best interest at heart, and also to lead by example, to make sure not just so that we look good, not just so that people think we have it together, but so that by our actions, by the things that people see in our lives, by our habits, by our character, that people see God through us and that points them to him. And so as leaders, we're asked to do those two things. As learners, we're asked to accept authority, and we're asked to humble ourselves. And then for all of us, we're simply asked to make sure that we're continually saying, God, do you have control of my life? Have I given you control of my life? And we're also cautioned to watch out for the attacks of Satan and stand strong in our faith. I love this passage because I can't help but think of things through the lens of Movement Church and think about where we are and knowing that we're going to continue to develop leaders and establish our foundation so that people can be added to our number, so that people can stand on the shoulders of our leaders. I love that it encourages us to have this attitude to take care of people and to lead by example. I love that it encourages all of us to accept authority and constantly be humble. And I love that this passage says the biggest thing you can do is give God control. And we need to constantly watch out for attacks. And so I hope that no matter what level you find yourself at today, maybe some of us are thinking, yep, I'm a leader. As soon as you hear that word, you know that that's you. You know that's how God has gifted you and what he's called you to do. Maybe some of us are thinking, all right, I'm new to this. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to see what God has for me. But you know that we constantly need to be focusing on staying humble and accepting authority. But for all of us, no matter where we are, we know that God wants us to give him control, and God wants us to be conscious of Satan so that we can glorify God. And so I hope that you are blessed by this today and blessed by 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to pray for us and close our time together. We'll invite our band back up, and we can spend some time just singing and worshiping God and spend time thinking about what he's taught us from his word today and how we can apply that to our lives, what he wants from us as leaders, as learners, and as his church that he's building. So let's pray together. God, thank you for today. Thank you for the chance to be together as your church, Lord. Thank you for the chance to look in your word and be taught. And God, I pray that Movement Church will be a place where leaders care for sheep, Lord. We know that there are times that we all need cared for, we all need taken care of, we need someone to have our best interest, and we need someone to lead us. God, I pray that we will be a church where that is so. God, we pray that we'll be a church when people want to learn and want to grow in their faith, Lord, a place where people can come and they can be humble. And they can learn to follow God, but also follow people that he's placed in our lives and just learn from their authority and learn from their role in our lives. God, I pray for all of us that we will be giving you control and be looking to you. Lord, we have so many things in common with the audience of this book. And sometimes we feel down, we feel abandoned, we feel alone. We feel like we're the only person trying to do good in this world. We feel like we're the only person trying to live for Christ, trying to stay married, try to honor our family. But God, we know that you are here with us. You love us. Lord, we know that you've sent your Son, and we are changed, and we can change this world because of that. So God, help us to stay focused on you. Help us to stay humble. Help us to be confident of what you're doing in us. And help us to pursue you. Lord, be with us now as we worship, as we sing. God, help us to give our love and our adoration, our voices, our attention, and our praise back to you. God, thank you again for the chance to gather together today, Lord. It's in your name I pray. Amen.